time I do a class in this series called The Legal Life Of, which was a brainchild of mine back in 2018 when I was trying to put together this program, the center that it wasn't even a center then, it was an initiative. But I wanted to have one class that really was special and was unlike anything offered at any law school. And I really felt like through my context as being a previous entertainment lawyer and also being a radio personality, a TV personality, and just living in this city for a really long time, that I would be able to approach celebrities and study their life from a legal lens. Mm-hmm. And we do that, you all know, because you've all been in the class. We do that through looking at the agreements that they signed along the way. Sometimes we're fortunate enough to have the actual agreement. And then sometimes we just use template agreements, but we really get an insider look through the agreements and through the speakers.
Wait, so who all have you had so far?
So the first one we did was Ludacris, which was The Legal Life of Ludacris, which jumped everything off. And that was amazing. Then that was in 2019. And then in 2020, we did The Legal Life of Candy Burris. That was amazing at that time. And she still may be now, although I think she's no longer on Housewives, but she was the highest paid Real Housewife. And many other things. I mean, Candy is like, that's one of the least things she is. And then after that, we did, Steve Harvey, The Legal Life of Steve Harvey, which was an amazing experience. Then after that, we did The Legal Life of Rick Ross, in celebration of Hip Hop 50. And that was also an amazing experience. And so after those four, I really felt like it was time to get to some sports stuff. And I was thinking about who I wanted to do. And I had a lot of individual athletes in mind, and they're going to come up later. But, they were very interested and they wanted to do whatever. When I was just reading that the Olympics was happening, and I had just myself come from Paris last summer in May, and I had such a wonderful time. And I thought, you know, how amazing would it be if I got to like bring my students to a place that I love and that is having this monumentous world event, right? And so I just started looking things up and I was like, okay, what would it take to do the legal life of the Olympic Games? Because obviously it's not a person. So it wasn't like a person to call. So I started digging around thinking like, who could I partner with and all that kind of stuff. So the first thing I needed to partner with was like one of the sports, like who could I partner with, right? And so of course, you know, I immediately started thinking about my favorite sports, which are swimming, gymnastics, and track and field. And so I said, let me reach out to track and field right away, because there were a lot of USA track and field athletes that like live in Atlanta and or live nearby. They train in the South and things like that. And so I reached out and almost immediately they said yes. Mm-hmm. So I immediately had the sports partner. And then when I looked, started doing more research into USATF track and field.
So when you say you reached out, like who are you reaching out to?
So I reached out to the CEO. His name is Max Siegel. And the deputy CEO, her name is Renee Washington, who I found out, did not know at the time, was my Spellman sister. So that made an instant connection. And I actually just got their number through, you know, I started looking around on LinkedIn, like, who do I know the same and all that? And I figured out, wow, we have a lot of people in common. And I made the phone call. And when I made the phone call, they picked up immediately. And I told them what I was doing. They were like, yes. And then I found out that Renee's niece is one of my best friends. And so then there was that connection and we were spelling. I mean, and that's what happens in life though. You're really only one or two people away from an opportunity. It's just identifying who's in that circle in order to be able to make that opportunity happen. So once I got USA Track and Field involved, then I was like, okay, well, I have a curriculum partner now, because now I have, they're both of them are lawyers. So I was able to explain to them what I was doing and tell them about the content that I needed, right? Because the basis of this class, no matter how exciting it ever gets with a celebrity or no matter how exciting the things that we do inside of the classroom get, it's real. It's about the curriculum and it's about learning. It's about you guys being able to walk away from the class and know things like know what a governing body is, right? And know what credentialing is and know like all the things that we learned, right? So then I just needed somebody to pay for the trip. And so I started like trying to figure out who could pay for the trip. And, you know, I immediately had the top people in my mind in Atlanta. We live in the world of the, two of the biggest Olympic brands, Coke and Delta and Airlines. And so I just started reaching out. And I reached out to Delta on a Tuesday, and by Thursday, I had all the money that I needed to do the trip.
Get their CEO up too?
I did speak with their higher ups, yes. Yeah, one really crazy thing about Delta is they don't like you to talk about anything that they do from a gifting grant, you know, like they want to be very like in the back of it. They just want to give their money. I mean, I just appreciate that so much from them. They just want to like give the money and go away. And that's so rare, right? So, I mean, all the shouts out to Delta Airlines because just the amount of gratitude that I have for them stepping in and making this possible. I can't even explain it in words. And then they gave the money and then we got what we needed. And then USATF stepped in and it's just been one after another. So in less than 30 days, we're on our way.
Yeah, I want to say a note on gratitude. I appreciate you so much for being a visionary.
Thank you.
You know, you had an idea last summer. And I think that the seed of us going to Paris was something that you just said, if no one says no, I'm going to work on it and I'm going to do it. And if people say no, we're still going to find a way to do it. And I also appreciate that as far as curriculum goes, you're preparing us to leave Georgia State College of Law with a very unique set of experiences. Mm-hmm. And I think that the sports and entertainment world gets a reputation for people who are law students maybe going after the sexiest career, but you are setting us up to be actual practitioners that are able to have transactional experience and information about litigation that runs the gamut of IP, media, sports, all kinds of disputes and things. So a question I have for you is, how do you, in terms of building curriculum, want to see the model that you've produced grow? And how this trip to Paris is kind of just the start of that.
It really is. I mean, it is growing because universities are copying it all over the place. So a lot of people be like, they're copying your idea. And we all know that, you know, an idea is just an idea until it becomes a copyright. Mm-hmm. Right? And so obviously we have very tangible forms of the way this has gone. So, you know, I think it's the biggest honor to see other professors in other universities and even in law schools trying to sort of copy this celebrity analysis, right? It's really like case study type of thing. And the most important thing when I was graduating from law school in 1994, so 1993, 1992, I had nothing like this in law school. And when I came out, I was fortunate enough even back then to get a job at a large law firm in the entertainment division. And I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I didn't understand, you know, the agreements that were being put in front of me. And I was being asked to redline them. And I was being asked to give comments. And I just had no idea what I was commenting on because nobody taught it to me. Mm-hmm. So it was really a learning curve that the partner that I worked for was responsible for, because it was like I had to go back to law school all over again to learn what he wanted me to produce. And that's just not ideal for trying to be, you know, a shining star in a very crowded legal field, right? Or to stand out amongst your peers when you go to a law firm. So my goal is for all the budding entertainment lawyers, sports lawyers, IP lawyers, or anybody that just wants to be able to talk the talk, because a part of being in the law is also being able to be in conversation with other lawyers and be able to comfortably talk about something because you actually know what you're talking about. And so I think that when we do a lot of the talking in the classroom and we talk about, no, you don't want to negotiate it that way. If you're on that side of the table, you want to do it this way. And if you're on this side of the table, you want to do it this way, is so that you all can recognize when you go out into the world, oh, I represent the artist in this situation, or, oh, I represent the company in this situation. So my lens for how I'm looking at this agreement is a little different each time, right? Or if I sit on one side, how can I make it worse for both sides, right? And come into the negotiation already not in an adversarial position with the person on the lawyer on the other side. So I think we do those kind of things so that you will already be comfortable when you get into a situation with one of these agreements. And even if you don't know the answer right away, I promise that it won't be something that looks brand new to you for the first time, like you just have never heard of, right, you know, these indemnifications and warranties in a TV agreement, or, you know, what a mechanical royalty is, or something like that. So that's the point of it
all. So I'm in contract drafting right now. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we talk about is you have to know the industry that you're about to be in. You can write as a lawyer, you can write provision sections, but if you're not familiar and actually know the industry, you're not doing your job, right?
Yep.
So I think that this class, all the classes in the entertainment, really teach us that to know how to ask the right questions.
Sure. And to be exposed to the lawyers that are doing these deals, mm-hmm. right? I think one of the reasons why I care so much about like the guest speakers is, well, one, I want to expose you guys to like the different jobs people have, because it's like, you wouldn't even imagine, like there's a man who, you know, the gentleman who was the general counsel of NBC Olympics. And, you know, he has this agreement to 2032 that's like, you know, 700 pages sitting on his desk, and it's his life. Right. Like that binder is his life at all times. Right. And it's like, how did he get that job? You know, how did he get to be in that position? And so to talk to him and to see how closely he worked with the lady who does NBC production, and how they just, they're like partners, because he's making sure that all the production things are done for the games. I mean, that was even to me. Interesting to me to, so it's not always like, I'm like, oh yeah, here comes such as, I'm interested in learning what this person does the same way that I want you guys to learn about it, because that, those are the people that later on in your career, you'll be like, oh, I remember when that lawyer said that, that had an impact on the way I decided to think about that agreement. You know, oh, they started negotiating an agreement for, you know, 2024 in 2017 or in 2018, you know, it was 6 years before it even was going to go into existence. So, I mean, those things are important.
Mm-hmm. I was with my family the other day. We were watching the gymnastics trials.
Yeah.
And we were trying to find it. And I was like, well, it's only on NBC and Peacock. And they're like, well, why? How do you know that? And I was like, well, I saw the deal. And we talked to the guy who like put it together. And he was like a Stephen King book big.
Yes. Yes. See, Reed, that is exactly right. And so you being able to say, well, only it could only be on an NBC channel, right? Because you know about that exclusive agreement, is the walk away that I'm exactly talking about. Because you will be somewhere one day and somebody will think they know way more than you do. And then it'll be, say it'll be like the year 2028, and you already know the agreement goes through 2032. Mm-hmm. So they'll be like, yeah, I was watching the Olympics on CBS. And you'll be like, that really can't be possible.
Like Olympics.
Right. Exactly. And so that, you know, that's exactly it.
Yeah. And I think that it does more than just have people be impressed by us. I think the reputation of the program, the Legal Life series, and GSU is out there. Like when we went to the Sports Lawyers Association, there were professors and people there who was like, I've been following the program. I'm really excited and rooting for you all. And Professor Harvey, we won't embarrass you. You know, once we graduate, we'll make you proud.
I know.
So is there any hot take you can tell us about the Center for Sports Entertainment IP for the upcoming year and about what's next?
I cannot, okay. But I will say that the focus is this Olympics trip right now, and for all of us to like go and, you know, really experience what we learned in real life, and also just fellowship with each other, right? Get to know each other, get to know, you know, what you guys want to do with your lives a little bit more, because even in the classroom, we spend a lot of time, you know, doing the work, but we don't get as much time to spend just getting to know each other. And I think that's really important. I have friends from law school to this day. A friend of mine that I went to law school in Philadelphia with actually threw me a porch party for a recent thing that I did. And so that was like really, really amazing to see those things come back, you know, and people supporting you in other areas of your life. So I want you guys to have that same, you know, experience. But I have a very big class coming up in the fall, which I am so excited about.
I'm excited about it too.
Yeah. It's going to be the first time that we sort of venture outside of Atlanta, and that's going to be really exciting for everybody. And I think it's going to be another next level step in this program, which is all that I want to do each time, is try to create a next level experience, try to have students meet people that they've always wanted to meet and that they would love to learn about, like, well, how did that person get that deal at, you know, Lionsgate, or how did that MGM deal come down, or, you know what I mean? Like whatever it is. And so that is really what the whole entire focus of it is all about.
So almost a hot take, but just more to come in the fall for us people on the Legal Life series.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you do love gymnastics, you love swimming. Did you play any sports growing up?
I did. I was a gymnast actually. And
really?
I was actually getting ready to go to the Junior Olympic trials when I had a very bad accident on the balance beam and broke my knee. Yeah. And that was when I was in eighth grade. And so that kind of ended my gymnastics life.
Can you do a cartwheel?
Today, of course. Of course. A back handspring too. I mean, what you never lose that muscle memory. So I mean, I watch sports from all angles. Like, I'm looking at the legal things. I'm a fan. You know, I love just traveling and seeing people do, you know, I love Simone Biles, right? I just love the comeback of her. I love Sha'Carri Richardson, and I can't wait to see Coco Gauff play in be in an Olympics. And then who doesn't want to see, like, Dawn Staley coaching the women's, you know, basketball team? So, I mean, all of that is just exciting for me from every angle.
I think this is a good time for us to transition to talking about more of the legal life class. Yeah. Are there things, Ayanna and Reed, that surprised you the most or that you found most helpful when taking the class?
I think for me was just understanding how much change the Olympics, having a hair in your host city, the change in the influence it has. So I'm not originally from Atlanta. And so just being a part of the class and seeing everything is done for the city, the airport, for example, Hartsfield-Jackson, the stadiums, what is done for the universities, downtown. I just didn't know any of that. And I was like, oh, wow, this is amazing. The opportunities it brings. I mean, everything has its positives and negatives too. So learning about a little of that, but it was just amazing to see the change. Like, the Atlanta that I know wasn't the Atlanta before 1996.
I think I second that, but on the other side, I think I've like noticing the ways it's changed Atlanta, perhaps in like the negative. I think it brought in like so much corporate money because they had like a laudable goal of they didn't want the city to pay a single penny for it. So to do that, they had to bring in all these corporate dollars. And I think that started the trend where the city government doesn't, they've like almost abdicated relevancy. And now you have developers today, like putting up just the worst, the ugliest stuff. You have, they can't like keep the water going. I feel like kind of all like ties back to when they kind of gave all the power to the corporations in 96.
That's interesting. I think one of the things that I was fascinated by was that conversation between Andrew Young and Shirley Franklin and Charles Huddleston, who came as our guests, and they, you know, all talked about their experience at ACOG, the Atlanta Committee for the Olympic Games, and just the body language between the three of them and the sort of like inside, relationship that they had. You could tell like there were many a days where they were all in a room, like, we're not doing it this way, or we're not, you know, it was just really interesting, to see that interaction and hear about what it was like from the inside, about the, you know, the arguments about how many of the contracts needed to go to minority, you know, participants, just about where they were going to build things, about how certain universities got stadiums and others didn't. And I mean, it just was really, really interesting to me to realize how little it is about sports, in some parts of it, you know, and then to talk to the woman who was the Koch lawyer who was working in France, and she was dealing with all of the French regulations, you know, relating to how they were going to, administer their sponsors, they're the biggest sponsor, their sponsorship all throughout the games. And I thought that was really interesting when she started talking about the environmental laws that they have to adhere to.
Which they don't have to adhere to here.
Right. So, you know, here we are in the capital, we are in the home of the biggest sponsor, and they have to go beyond what they do here for an Olympic Games in Europe than they even do for an Olympic game in the United States. So it was, to me, that part was fascinating. I also was very surprised about the whereabouts clause for the athletes, you know, having to check in and say where they sleep every night. I thought that was so interesting, and also somewhat of a trap that, you know, felt like a little bit putting on undue pressure on them to make a mistake. And so I just learned a lot of things about the Olympics that I had no idea about, and learned while I was researching it. But really talking to the people who are doing these things every single day really brought it to life, you know, for me, even as the professor, to learn about these things.
I just keep thinking, I'm like, we learned about so much, as you was talking about each one of those things. Just remember when we was talking about Rule 8 with the protesting, and just even now, I didn't want to talk too much about it, but just what's going on with the Palestinian regulations with security. I think that was the biggest conversation
that we had.
And so I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out just going there.
Absolutely. Because we're going to see protests and it's going to be. Well,
I think we talked to the consulate and they said protests are their national pastime in France.
Even when there's no war.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you can imagine having the Olympic stage to do your protests. And I mean, we're going to be seeing a lot of that. And that's exactly, you know, we're not going to Paris because we want to see protests, but that's exactly sort of like what the, when the classroom starts coming alive to you and we realize about the, you know, the rules that they have around protesting at the Olympics and, you know.
Well, it's also a really heated time in France because they're having the snap election. So they'll have a whole new government potentially between now and the time we go, in the next 30 days.
Exactly.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
Ayanna, you mentioned 1996. I vividly remember how even the Olympics affected Columbus, which is 100 miles from here. But we had the softball games at our Columbus Civic Center. And I mean, it was the stimulus package for our city, even there. And so like the Olympic Games is like the ultimate economic stimulus package. It changes your real estate, your parking setup. And, you know, if you're lucky, it's done the right way and they can keep what's there. So I was talking to some of the attorneys that I've met over the years, and they said that they worked the real estate deals in 1996, and the relationships and things that have been sustained have been phenomenal for their careers. So, you know, I think that with FIFA coming as well in 2026, we're really well positioned as people interested in entertainment and sports to
Messi was here last week.
Yeah. Atlanta's a great city for
this work. I guess part of the 96 Olympics that was great was that we almost set a precedent of like a sustainable Olympics where we still use everything that they built for it. And a lot of things that they were using as stadiums had already been built before.
Yeah.
And I think like Paris is also doing that. London did that. Yeah. Tokyo did that. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of like the trendsetters for that.
And just like the airport.
And I think for us, being mindful as being legal advisors, but understanding the ecosystem of Atlanta and the Southeast and how all of those factors, transportation, vendor management, corporate partnerships, that's going to help us.
Yeah. Atlanta is in the finals for the Sundance, the move for the Sundance Film Festival. Sundance is moving and Atlanta is one of the finalists in that move. And so just imagine if we get the Sundance Film Festival and, you know, it moves from, you know, from
Salt Lake City,
Utah.
I mean, great. The legal life of the Sundance
Film Festival. Park City.
Park City. But it's all over. Like there's so many different venues whatever, but yeah, they're looking for a new place and Atlanta is one. And it's because of those things like the infrastructure we have, which is so many hotel rooms and so many, the airport being the number one, thing that people come to Atlanta for. So, I think we have a lot of entertainment and sports going to hit this city, even though we feel like we have already had a lot, we're about to have a lot more.
Do you all have a favorite guest from the class that you had?
I remember Edwin Moses coming and he was a big Olympic runner. And I think I loved his story because he talked about how he combined science and just his understanding of physics and how he used that to kind of become like this super amazing track star. And I mean, I'm a little bit of a nerd, so I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so you can really, if you use your head, you can really do anything. Yeah. So I really like
that. And, you know, you're talking about the Edwin Moses, who is a two-time gold medal champion. And I mean, really who set world records in the Olympic Games and who has gone on to be an amazing businessman and an advocate, a sports advocacy, you know, a person who fights for people's rights and ownership of their IP and all of that kind of stuff. So, I mean, the fact that he joined us on the last day of class, I mean, he's also a civil rights, leader in sports. Fighting for the right for everybody to have access to all of the things that sports offers. So that was amazing. And every once in a while, he'll text me. And I think that a lot of times when we choose the person to come to class or we choose the subject or any guest speaker, they have as much fun as we think we're gaining, right? And you're like, oh, well, Edwin Moses came to class. And Edwin Moses is like, I went to the law school and I talked to, you know, and then he's like sending me stuff like, tell the students that this is coming up. And it's like so amazing because when you tap into something in somebody that not a lot of people ask them about all the time, and they really want to talk about that thing. Mm-hmm. And they want people to know that they're more than just a runner, or they're more than just a rapper, or they're more than just a television reality show or a game show host, or, you know, they want to let you know about the things that they are involved in. And I think that's what's also equally gratifying about the Legal Life series is that the people who are involved are as excited about it as we are.
Yeah. And it was really cool. You got to tie it back into Atlanta since his origin story was all in Atlanta, I guess, because he went to Morehouse, then have a track team.
Right.
So it was fun hearing about how to practice, he would just break into other track fields and or just like jump fences.
Right. I mean, and that his father was like, you're going to graduate from college. Like, this is some side thing you're doing. And he's like, no, I think I'll take this side thing all the way and go to the Olympics. And then when he was done, he came back and, you know, is the educated scholar scientist that he is, you know? So, I mean, that is,
which is now like all athletes are basing everything on science.
That's right.
Like, he totally started that whole everything.
He absolutely did. And figured out the range and the span and the speed.
And he said he was like measuring the angles of the track to determine like which part of the turn he wanted to do in the right way.
You have to do that with soccer too. You have to.
I mean, it was amazing. He's amazing. Shout out to Edwin Moses.
Who is your favorite guest?
I think Edwin Moses was also my favorite. Also, just hearing about his work ethic. Like he said, you just work until you can't work anymore and then you just keep working.
I was going to say one thing that about law school is very hard and challenging. And like one thing I love about the speakers is just they remind you to stay motivated and just keep working.
Yeah.
I think I learned that from every speaker that you're going to have difficulties, but you just kind of keep doing it. So
like the more you put into it, the more you get out. So you might as well put as much as you can.
That's right. And it's going to be over. And then you're going to look up and like, you guys are looking up in your third years.
Oh my gosh.
Right. And it's almost over. This time next year, you will be graduates of law school and you'll be getting ready for the bar exam. Right. I mean, it just goes by that
passing
fast.
Passing on the first try.
Yes. It goes by that fast. So, the hard work is definitely worth it. Hard work pays off.
So now I want to know more about the first time you found out that the class was going to the Olympics. Like, describe to us exactly how you felt. And then over time, maybe a week later, like, if it hit you again.
So I feel like I've told this story so many times now. But I think...
Wait. First, Professor Ivory, can you tell us, like, the background? Like, can you set the stage?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. So, you know, I got the money and then I was like, well, how will I tell everybody? And, you know, one thing that was, of course, disappointing was that, there's certain students in the class that couldn't go because it's exactly during the time of the bar exam. But that was when the week that I got the tickets for, right? And so I couldn't change that. And as much as I wanted to, it just wasn't possible to do. So it was a high and a low. And I just want to shout out to all the students who I know, were heartbroken when they figured out it was the first week and not the second, because the Olympics is 2 weeks. So it's the last week of July and the first week of August. The last week of July is always the bar exam, but that's when I got the tickets for. So we did it that way. But I decided that, I wanted to, make it a surprise, like only, two students could go because that's all I could, muster up or whatever. And so we made these boarding passes and we put one in every envelope and we let everybody pick, thinking that they were like, oh gosh, I hope I'm picking the one that has it in it or whatever. And then you guys opened them all up and, everybody was going. So that was amazing.
And I think I saw in the video, Melanie was like the first to open her envelope and she screamed like, I got
it. Because it was all filmed and you always have such high profile guest speakers. So we all thought the cameras were just for speaker.
Right.
We didn't know they were for the Today Show.
Right. Nor did I. Didn't know that those cameras were not for the Today Show. Those cameras were just my videographer. I wanted to capture it so that I could put it on my social media. And then my girlfriend, who works at NBC, was like, she saw that that I had announced on a press release, the week before that we were starting this class. And she was like, well, what's going to be your big surprise? And I told her, and she was like, what? And she was, she was like, when is it? And I was like, well, it's that day. And she said, okay, well, I can't get a camera together fast enough to come, do it for NBC. So just tell your videographer to take the film of it. And then we'll give him the credit, for the the tape and everything. So he did it and he edited it. And then I just sent it to her. And literally she was so excited that night. She called me at 1 o'clock in the morning and she was like, the Today Show producer told me it's coming on tomorrow morning. Oh. And that's how it happened.
It was on Good Morning America too.
It was on Good Morning America. It was on the Sherry Shepherd Show. It was on Evening News with Lester Holt. I mean, it went everywhere.
I've seen it.
So Ayanna, take it to the moment. You had already seen Melanie scream her eyes out that she was going. And so what was that moment like?
I was like, I guess I'm not going. Like, I'm sitting here like, no way. This can't be me. I'm looking at the envelope and it says you're going to Paris. And I'm like, well, I've heard two people scream now, so I'm not going. And me and I remember another student, Solomon, we were looking at each other and we're like, this doesn't make sense. Like, what's going on? And then it's like everybody else who didn't scream was looking at each other like,
and then that's when I said, you're going, and you're going, you're all going. And that's, it was a very delayed reaction. Everybody was kind of like, what? And I loved it. I mean, I still watch it to this day, and it's so exciting to me that.
I mean, students was like, okay, I got to go get a passport now.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
So when I got the envelope, I could kind of see a barcode through the paper. So I was like, oh, it's me. So I'll just like take my time opening it. So then I hear like four people behind me screaming, and I'm like, but I thought, and then similar to Ayanna, I was like, looking at everybody confused.
And then I know it was especially tough for you because Ayanna is a twin. And in every Legal Life class previously, her twin sister was always in the class also. And when the first day of class started and I kind of knew that this was happening and I didn't see your sister, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, she gave up her last spot in the class so that I can go.
What a twin story.
Yeah, I know. And so then Ayanna writes me and asks me if she could give the ticket to her sister. And she would not. And I was like, no, they're not transferable.
You're automatically the nicer twin now.
Yeah, she is winning the twin love award. I hope my baby granddaughter twins are the same way you guys are with each other, because it was just so, when you wrote me that email, I almost cried. But, you know, it's just, that's the thing about, you know, all of you came into the class because you just want to learn about the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And that's the greatest part of the joy of all of it. Like, if I would have, can you imagine if I would have said, like, there's a special treat coming with this class? You know how many people would have just done it because they wanted the special treat and they weren't going to, you know, give what you guys gave into the class. It's as important during a semester for you guys to give to me in the class as it is for me to give to you in the class, right? It's important when we stop and you say, well, wait, what about, how is that with Rule 50, with, you know, the IP, and you can't, what if you have a deal with Adidas and, but Nike's doing Team USA or Ralph Lauren is doing Team USA? What do you do with your Adidas sponsorship? And so, you know, all of those kinds of questions and interactions are equally as important for the professor, because you don't want to be the professor that leaves a classroom feeling like your students had like no connection to you. They didn't really feel, and I never feel that way. Like, I always leave a class at the end of the semester and I feel like I made things better for you all, and you all opened my eyes to the things that you need from me as a professor.
Now, Ayanna, you always ask such great questions. Like, we're in trademarks.
And then so many things came from the class, right? You're starting a newsletter. Like, if it bleeds out, right? Now there's this podcast, right? And there's all these other things that we get to do. And that comes from being able to actually be creative in the classroom. And that is part of the point of the whole center, right? For us to take education to like a different level and to bring our creativity into the classroom.
Absolutely.
So shall we transition to talking about going to Paris?
Yeah.
I've never been. I know you've been.
I have.
I went once.
Okay.
I went once too.
I'm a newbie. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be new for everybody because it's so different.
Well, I'm excited because we're in like one of the cooler parts of Paris too.
We are totally in a cool part of Paris.
We're in the French Quarter.
Yes.
The Latin Quarter.
The Latin Quarter, which is totally like a cool artsy, you know, part of Paris and close to most things. We're going to be able to get on the train real quickly and get to things. Or for people who are like, you know, adventurous walkers, you know, you'll be able to walk. If you're a person that likes to walk a mile or two, you'll be able to just go and go to things. And I think it's going to be fantastic.
Is there anything you're looking forward to the most about being in the city other than the Olympics?
I mean, I'm just excited to see the change. So I actually went last summer to Paris. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just because I was there recently to see how drastically different it's going to be.
Yeah.
I think that's really what it is. And especially right before you see like the Eiffel Tower, that area, there's like this big long. I know that they're going to have like boats and just all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're doing volleyball in front of the Eiffel Tower, I think, too.
So I'm just like excited for that, just to see the like infrastructure.
Okay.
I love that they put all the, like a lot of the events are happening in front of like iconic buildings. Mm-hmm. Like they've built the event stages like into the way, like the, into the city itself.
Yeah.
So, like Versailles has a tennis and then there's a volleyball happening in front of Eiffel Tower. Soccer's at the PSG stadium.
Yeah.
I think there's something happening in front of the Arc de Triomphe too. So
that's amazing.
It should be amazing just to, even if you don't go to the events, just see what's, see how they look. See how they've like weaved it through the part of Paris.
Yeah. And there's going to be fan areas where if you can't get into the event, you can just like sit on the grass right outside of it and there'll be screens everywhere so that you can see the events, which is going to be like fantastic. You grab like, you know, a little baguette and, you know, a little wine and you sit out there and you watch, you know, some of the events, which I am most looking forward to the people watching.
Oh, yeah.
I am totally consumed with finding Snoop Dogg and Pharrell while I'm there. And I love
Pharrell as well.
Yeah. And I just want to see the things that are going on. And, you know, definitely do like a little shopping and stuff. But I don't really, we have things on our itinerary to do, but I'm looking forward to like the layout, like the sitting at a side cafe and watch people come and go, talk to people and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And really just enjoy it. It really is like a culminating fun trip for the class. It's not like, you know, anybody's coming home to like write a paragraph or anything. Like, in fact, nobody should be even thinking like that, because this is about seeing the things come to life that we already talked about. You know, we'll do some fun things and go to some fun places, but I really want you guys to like explore Paris and get to see what, you know, it's like to be in a city when an Olympics is going on.
I love that you reminded me that that Pharrell is going to be there. I was obsessed with Pharrell when I was in my 20s, and I actually—
No stalking on this trip.
No stalking anymore.
Okay, just legally, but, no stalking is allowed on this trip.
Speaking of stalking, one summer before my senior year in undergrad, I went to Virginia Beach, and I know he went to Nansman River High School, and I loved seeing the city, and they love Pharrell in Virginia Beach, obviously. So like all the places that he went to, I would like be like, oh, take a picture. Or like, so it's interesting that he's going to be there. I have another question about who we'd like to meet when we go there, but he won't be one of the people I'm going to meet. The thing I'm looking forward to the most, I would say, separate from the Olympic events, is the fashion. Yeah. Like I'm really excited about the, what's the Galleria called in Paris?
Champs-Élysées?
All of the, everywhere. I want to go to Dior. I want to go all the places, Chanel.
Yeah.
We're going to the Dior Museum, right?
Yeah, and we're going to the Dior Museum.
Wait, so I don't know anything about that. Can you tell me what that
is? So it's a museum just dedicated to the Christian Dior brand and all of the iconic dresses that this designer has dressed people in. So, like, you know, you'll see a dress in there that Princess Diana wore, or, you know, you'll just see the whole sequence of that brand, and it's just be amazing.
Yes,
I didn't get to go last year because it just was always crowded when I wanted to go. But
I'm gonna be less crowded this time, right?
Well, we have tickets, so yeah, it's gonna be great.
So no stalking this trip, but we will get to see hopefully a lot of games. Do you have a sporting event you're looking forward to the most, and maybe an athlete if you could meet them, you're looking forward to meeting the most?
Well, are they going to have breakdancing there?
Because they are. Yes. They are.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, they're going to have breakdancing. Yeah. I am too. I am too.
That is like just so different. And I'm glad they added that. Because
so good.
So, I'm so excited good. For that.
I would like to come upon Sha'Carri Richardson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just think that she is, you know, so complex of a person.
She's a superhero.
Yeah. And I would love to just like, you know, say hi and tell her how proud and tell her like we studied, you know, through the lens of USA track and field and just get a picture with her. She's, you know, somebody that I feel is going to be around for a really long time. And then of course, who doesn't want to give little old Simone Biles a hug, you know, just because she's just everything. And that would be a lot of fun. And then of course, I would love to see Coco Gauff.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's really my top three.
Did I hear we're taking a trip to the Olympic Village?
Well, the Olympic Village is called Team USA House.
Okay.
It's not every game sort of has a different way they consider the place where the athletes stay or whatever. And I am working on that right now. So yes, hopefully that will be a yes, which I think will be a yes.
Yeah. Do you have an athlete you'd like to meet if you could?
I guess maybe Caleb Dressel, a swimmer. I don't feel like I'm too in the know of all the athletes, though. I feel like especially because since it's 4 years apart, they always change.
Yeah. Well, you'll have a nice 8.5 hour plane ride to figure that out.
Yeah.
You could do a lot of research on the way there, mm-hmm. like who and what's going on. And then we're going to have an app, which you know very much about, that we can keep each other updated on. And I think that the way that we will be able to be like all the eyes and ears of the Olympic Games is by like communicating with each other all throughout. Like, you know, if somebody runs into somebody like, oh, such and such is headed to the da da da, yeah. That'd be awesome if anybody's around that they could like catch that, you know? Yeah. And so I think that us having that app that, you know, you're playing such a big role in helping to do along with Haley is going to be really helpful.
Yeah. And there's also going to be musical talent there that not just the athletes that we can bump into, but I know Cardi B, Dolly Parton is going to be there that are going to be like alternate streaming as part of the big broadcast with NBC.
Now I'm excited.
I would love to see Dolly Parton.
Yeah. Snoop's going to be there too.
Yeah, because he's a correspondent for NBC. Yeah.
And then, sorry, I have tickets to the Costa Rica soccer game too.
Oh, do you? Really awesome. Awesome.
They don't know. I don't know who they're playing. But yeah. For some reason, they know that Costa Rica is one of them.
Yeah, tickets have been so hard.
They went up at like 2 a.m. our time.
I know. They go up at a crazy time, and then they, you know, they're not inexpensive, and then you can only buy 6 at a time. So it was so hard for me to ever be able to get. There's 25 people on this trip, so it was very hard for me to do anything to get like 25 tickets. I would have. It basically is impossible, really. Yeah. And when you do the group, that's the hard thing about the Olympic experience. When you do a group package, it normally includes a hospitality suite and all that. So it becomes like an astronomical amount of money. Yeah. Like just one event for a group of 25 would end up costing something like $25,000.
Yeah.
It's just a lot. Yeah. So I hope people got tickets on their own though.
Yeah. Did any of y'all get tickets?
Yes.
What did you get?
So I have tickets to women's gymnastics.
Oh, really?
The semifinals. I feel like the second to last day.
Oh,
I got tickets
awesome.
To that. And then I got tickets to women's USA women's basketball and tennis for 2 days. So I'm excited that Rafa
awesome.
Nadal is going to be on the Spanish team along with Alcaraz. They're playing doubles together. So maybe I'll get to see them while I'm there. And then Coco Gauff and Jess Pegula are going to be playing for the USA women's team in tennis too. So I'm hoping if I had to say someone I was hoping to bump into, it'd be Rafa Nadal.
Yeah, right. My God, that's awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm going to, you know, keep on looking. I always look and I try to see if there's any like affordable ones. There never are. Cause they're like the first one will come up. It'll be like €750, which, you know, is about $1,000, mm-hmm. almost $1,000 in American, in USD. So, mm-hmm. but anyway, we're still going to have a good time regardless.
We're going to have a great time. And I think I'm also looking forward to the bonding for us classmates.
Yeah, the fellowship will be amazing.
And, I think if I were to say in terms of what question I want to have answered at the end of this trip. For me, it's this is a business trip, I think, in terms of me as a law student and a future practitioner, learning what it takes to produce an event of this size and of the quality of the games that I've always associated it being. Like, it's like top tier sporting event. So I'm excited.
If not the top tier sporting event. Yeah. Because it's global.
Yeah. So is there any question that for you, Ayana or Reed, that you want to get answered while you're there?
I'm just really excited and wanting to see the people that we're going to meet. I know that Professor Ivory said that I'm not sure, are we still doing that where we're going to have like certain people come and talk to us? Really, I just want to know like how this opportunity can like help my future, because one thing that we keep talking about is just relationships and that this is a small world.
Yeah.
So I think just like seeing the opportunities that this door, like the door that, how do you say that phrase?
Like it opened the door for
I'm really just like wanting to see how this is all going to play out.
Yeah. And I think that's so much also on what you decide to do with the experience, you know, because there's going to be so many Americans there. And I mean, sometimes you never know, you could be in a bar and to be standing next to, mm-hmm. especially at a worldwide event like this, you know, you could just be standing next to the head of Nike and you just don't even like realize it. But because you were friendly and you were like, hey, I'm Reed, you know, and then then you meet the person, you're like, oh my gosh, I was at the bar with the president of, you know.
And they're hiring a first year law.
Yeah, right. And then you just never know. And they're shocked that you're there and they love the story and how you got there. And then there's a relationship that you just never would have imagined would happen. That's how I want you guys to go there, just open and willing and, you know, to meet people and talk to everybody.
Yeah, and you gave us such a good like conversation icebreaker. Like telling people how we got there. Like the story is so good.
So good.
Like you could go up to anybody and say, like, sorry, you have something to say.
Yeah. People will be like, what is GSU? You're going to run into people and they're going to be, is that like GSU, like GSU in Georgia? And you're going to be like, yes, it is. Yeah. And they're like, I graduated from GSU. Like it's going to be that local, you know, and that.
It's great for interviews too. Like law firm interviews.
Oh, it's just great. Yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. So I can't wait. So we have less than 30 days to go. And, I'm getting so excited and I hope you guys are too. And, you know, we're going to have two more briefings, coming up very soon after the 4th. We're going to meet twice, two more times on Zoom for like the last minute things and everything. And then we're off and we're going to have an adventure and then we're going to come back and we're going to be able to sit around this table and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tell people who are interested in partnering as we have 30 more days, how they can help support or just like follow us as we're in Paris.
Yeah, so our communications head, Jaya Franklin's coming on the trip with us. So everybody will know we're there. Mm-hmm. 11 Alive, local Atlanta is going to be following us while we're there. We'll be on the Today Show while we're there. And so a lot of people are going to know we're there. And that's going to be awesome. And I'm hoping, you know, just like I want you guys to build relationships while you're there. I have very specific relationships I'm going after while I'm there. Mm-hmm. That will benefit the, you know, program later on. And so it's always a business trip. I mean, you will see many glasses of wine in my hand while we're there, but it is, don't be fooled. It is definitely a business trip. And I'm always thinking about setting up the next situation that I want to have and that I want to, you know, see come to life. So I'm going to be doing those same things. And so I'm just really looking forward into making a plan. And I suggest that, oh, partners. I mean, people can always reach me at mivory@gsu.edu, which is mivory@gsu.edu. Because I'm always looking for people to want to be interested in what we're doing, which just benefits the students. If there's any brands out there that want to help students, then those are the brands that I want to be involved with, right? And we have many opportunities for brands to be able to do that with what we have. And I mean, especially with what we have coming in the fall. So if anybody is interested in that, then I think, you know, they will. It always works that I'll say something like this and somebody will hear it and nobody will contact me. And then they'll read about it in the AJC or in Billboard or whatever, and then I'll get a flurry of phone calls.
Billboard or whatever.
Yeah, or wherever it comes up, and I'll get a flurry of phone calls, and that's fine. That's how the entertainment industry is, right? Mm-hmm. I've told you guys this a million times. Like when you're hot and the iron is hot, you strike, right? And then people will, you know, forget about you for a minute until the next iron is hot, and then you strike, and then you just build those up. And so that's what I've been able to do with the program. And so we've had a couple of people already come to the table, and we're starting to get funding. So it's a very exciting time.
Very excited.
Wait. So what are you most excited for? Like you've kind of, like, is there something specific that you're like most looking forward to in Paris?
Oh,
I feel like there's something up your sleeve. The smile.
No. I mean, I'm looking forward to just being with you guys and like really getting to know you on a personal level. You know, I'm looking forward to that. I mean, we're all, you know, nobody's like, you know, under 21 on this trip. So I'm going to love like going to dinner with folks. And,
well, even then, you know, like, I think you can drink when you're 18 there.
Well, there, I think you can drink when you're 10 there. But because you can start drinking wine immediately when you're born in Paris. But no, I mean, I'm going to tennis too. So I'm looking very much forward to tennis. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to every day coming back at the end in the mornings. You know, we have breakfast at the hotel every morning. It comes with the room and everything. So nobody has to worry about where they're going to eat breakfast. I think it'll be a place where we all are like, oh my God, this is what happened last night to me. And, you know, and I can't wait to hear those stories. And I can't wait to see where you guys party and where you, you know, go. And I mean, to have like Solomon on this trip, who didn't even have a passport before this. I mean, I'm just going to, it's like watching your child, you know, see the world. And that is a very exciting thing. And so whether you guys are, I do feel like you're like my, I mean, I know everybody's not like my children's ages, but I do feel kind of like a mother figure over everybody. And so to see that come, you know, see your faces when all those things start to happen is going to be nice.